Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board. There is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
Nation. Check us out on Facebook, my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, the 110 Nation fan page, 110 Nation Sports. Also, check out our group page as we've revamped that and added some admins and working hard on making that group a place where all our sports fans can go and just talk on different topics and have live game and race threads. So those fans of those particular games or races can sit there and talk amongst themselves. Just a lot of great things going on. Got poll questions and just different things going on in the group. Make sure you check out our new revamped 110 group. It's called the 110 Nation. Also, make sure you check out our blog site, www.the110nationsports.com. And, of course, check out our company site, www.the110nation.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. Mike, let me know how everything sounds right now. In a message. Unfortunately, I am doing it from a different location, and I forgot to grab my headsets, and I'm waiting for a set of headsets to be brought to me, so I'm not exactly sure how long it's going to be. As a matter of fact, the person's still at work, so I'm doing it a little bit different, doing it just on a speakerphone versus doing it through the headset like I normally do. So let me know how it's sounding and if I need to make any altercations there, Mike. But, okay, so it sounds fine to me. We got Mason Mitchell from Mason Mitchell Motorsports joining us here at 9:30. I do apologize on the delay. We just got a lot going on here and just took us a little bit longer to get things set up in the location tonight. But we got Mason Mitchell Motorsports joining us at 9:30. We got him for about 15 minutes tonight as he's got a real busy schedule. We're going to find out how things are looking for Michigan, how he feels the beginning of the season has gone, how the drivers that he has had in his cars are doing or have done, and talk a little bit about the six-race contract with Brady Boswell, as we had him on earlier in the week, and basically what the 2016 season was looking like for him. So the Triple M Racing. So looking forward to having him on the show. We'll definitely keep you updated on what's going on in the Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Cleveland at home against Golden State. Kevin Love will not be playing in Game 3. He suffered that concussion in Game 2 and just never was able to get cleared to be able to participate in Game 3, and that was kind of to be expected. Klay Thompson, I want to say it was last year. I don't think it was this year. Last year, he ended up suffering from concussion, and he was out for at least one game. It just amazes me how much different. Even though the NBA has less contact, less physical contact than the NFL, how much stricter and how much harder it is for the players to get through their concussion protocol than it is for the NFL. And you know, I tip my hat to the NBA. That says a lot about the NBA, and it says how serious they take the concussion issue, and you know, I applaud them. And there's no way that we have more players sitting out NBA games in a less physical game because concussions versus the NFL. So Like I said, that says a lot about the two different professionalisms of these sports. We're definitely going to keep our eye, especially us Cleveland fans, on how this game. This is a must-win game in my opinion. I look at it as we knew going into this series that we was going to have to steal one from. And I'll have you come on here and after Mason Mitchell talk about those things, Mike. And I didn't get your email earlier. I've been, had stuff going on before I went to work, and then I've been at work all day and just got in, like, literally, like, 20 minutes ago as it was. So I have not even seen the emails yet. We knew that we were going to have to steal one in Golden State at some point. Golden State has home court advantage. That means four games were going to be at Golden State. That means we, in order to win the NBA Finals, we were going to have to steal one somewhere. As much as I would have loved seeing Cleveland steal one in game one or game two, realistically, I think game five is the best opportunity for the Cleveland Cavaliers to win. This is why I say this. Even with the beatdown, you know, that makes things a little bit harder to have this argument. I wish the games would have been closer. But honestly, that game five is the best scenario for Cleveland. And the reason I say this, right now, Cleveland's looking at, they got to win four games. They're looking at three of the next four are at home. They're 7-0 in the playoffs and had a very good record at home in the regular season. This is the point where they want to carry momentum. And obviously losing Kevin Love is going to hurt some things. But this is where you want to carry the momentum and get on the streak and get hot. You're at home. You got the crowd behind you. You can win game one. Game three, game four. Carry that momentum. You key in on what works at home. Carry that into Golden State. You steal that game five. Bring it back home, game six in Cleveland, the Quicken Loans Arena. Wrap this thing up. Be the 2016 NBA final champions. Do I think it's going to happen? And the Cleveland fan and myself is hoping, but the CEO and founder of this great nation, the 110 Nation, says there's no way, and I'm just hoping that Cleveland at least wins one or two games and is not a sweep at this point. More specifically, because of the rumors of whether or not LeBron earlier in the season was going to be back for another year, whether or not he was going to go back to Miami or go somewhere else, I honestly believe if Cleveland gets swept in these NBA Finals, those rumors will become more and more, and it could be even a realistic a reality and not just a rumor. I feel Cleveland is able to draw this into a 6 or 7 game series and give the LeBron a reason to want to continue building this dream of bringing one back to the land, then yes, I see that LeBron might stay, get a new contract, and continue this journey of bringing one back. I can't tell you Cleveland is up 9-2. It was 9-0 in the first. We will definitely keep you updated throughout this show. Unfortunately, I'm at a location that I am not able to physically see the game, and I have a feeling tonight's game I am not going to physically be able to see. I just got plans going on. Well, we got the show going on, and that's going to already put us to at least halftime. But I got plans already going on after the show that I'm not going to cancel or be able to pull away from. And so this is one of those things that if somebody's got some way to stream the game, I got the laptop sitting in front of me. You can send me a message and let me know, and I would greatly appreciate that. If not, I'm just going to have to go based off what I see, you know, as the score gets updated. Definitely would love to have the opportunity to watch the game. Don't get me wrong, but it's one of those things that, you know, darn if you do, darn if you don't kind of scenario. And we just got some things that need to be taken care of after the show, and I got some work to be done, and I can't pull away from that. I got shows that got to be scheduled. I'm assuming that's one of the I don't know if that was an email that you sent or not, Mike, if you got all your stuff together. I know Steve for tomorrow night's show, he's waiting on his show to be scheduled. I know the Happy Hour Garage, and I got to get their stuff loaded and scheduled for Saturday. I know we got press releases that got to be put on the blog site. I just know we just got a lot of things that got to be tied up and get taken care of here as we wrap up the week here on the Once in a Nation Sports Show. And moving forward tomorrow, obviously my time frees up because I'm only producing shows and I ain't got to prepare for shows and be on shows. And I accomplish a lot of things while I'm listening into the show, if it be family or, you know, the Once in a Nation. But one of those things that if I stream the show, then I would sit here and stream the show. Stream the game. If not, it is what it is. We will keep updated as best as we can, and we're going to keep our fingers crossed here at the 110 Nation Sports Radio Studios that the Cleveland Cavaliers will keep the lead and do some things as they're 11-6 with about 7.5 left in the first, and we will constantly keep you we'll definitely keep you in the loop and what's going on with the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. Actually, they took whatever it was, I'd say 11-7, 11-6, whatever it was, they took it back, so it's only 11-4 again. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Racing with Big Sweat, brought to you by Snafu Seasoning. Steve has got a one hell of a show planned for you guys tomorrow night, as he's got super late model driver Cassius Clark, sprint car driver Kyle Locke. They will be joining the studio tomorrow night. Of course, I will let Mike talk about what he's got going on Friday when he comes on after we have Mason Mitchell join us at 9:30. But two great guests, looking forward to being in the studio, hanging out tomorrow night with Big Sweat, and just be able to have an opportunity to listen to two great guests and be part of that show. And then, like I said, Friday night, we got Hot Laps with Stats. Where we'll get the details on that when we get the host on here in a little bit. And then Saturday at noon, we got Happy Hour Garage. They put on one hell of a show. We're glad to be able to syndicate that show and have it rebroadcast on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Got to thank the guys over to I-95 for doing the same, rebroadcasting our shows. Unfortunately, last night we didn't get that show sent over. It didn't let me download until after I went to work. I don't know what's up with BTR. Some days, 30 minutes after the show, it can be downloaded and I can send it off. Some nights it takes 2 or 3 hours, and there's been some days that it takes till midday the next day or even evening, and unfortunately that was one of those scenarios, as I checked it before I went to work at 1 o'clock today, and it still was not downloadable for me to send over. So unfortunately on that, but we'll get that sent over and hopefully get tonight's show sent over at some point before tomorrow. And but I got to thank those guys for syndicating our shows and rebroadcasting them on their network. It means a lot to us. Just like it means a lot to the Happy Hour Garage that we rebroadcast their shows. Still working on the Sunday show. We got a couple takers, and we're going to be in contact with one of them. I know Shorty and myself, we're toying with an idea, but it's one of those things that we might just add to the Saturday lineup, because we can do that kind of thing with the BTR and how it's laid out, as long as we already have it pre-recorded. So we might do it live on Spreaker or just pre-record it and then publish it on Spreaker and then download and put it on BTR. But we're thinking and contemplating a few things. So definitely continue to grow here at the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, and just excited about what we got going on this week and the guests we got going on. I tell you what, I'm very, very pleased with the fact that we got Mason Mitchell joining us back tonight. We love having him on the show. He comes on quite frequently and has his drivers come on, so always excited when we have him on the show. I got to also, before I get into some more of the topics, I also got a shout-out to my roommate. He hooked us up this afternoon. They just happened to have a NASCAR fabricator and a couple of Greg Biffle crewmen at his job today, which was really weird because race was in Pennsylvania last week. This week's race is in Michigan, but yet they're down here in North Carolina, and not the Charlotte area of North Carolina. I would understand more if they came back to the shop, this, that, and the other. But they were here down at Fayetteville, Fort Bragg. I don't know if there was something going on and they had some kind of sponsorship obligations and they were part of that, or if they were out here with the military here at Fort Bragg. But for some reason, they were down here in our area, and he did his best-selling selling on the 110 Nation and what we have going on here. And they said that they were going to contact us, so hopefully those things work out, and we get to bring you some of NASCAR's finest and some of Greg Biffle's crew as well. That would be rather cool, as we've had, you know, some of the other crews. We've had Paul Molnar's guys on the show before. At one point in time, we had things lined up for Brad Keselowski's crew. I don't know whatever happened with that. Cleveland is up 21 to just turned 21 to 8, so it was 21 to 6 with about 4 minutes left in the first. I tell you, we're gonna beat that score into the ground tonight. As we got our fingers crossed here in the studio that Cleveland continues on. But got to shout out to him and thanks for thinking about us and hopefully giving us an opportunity that. As the text messages are coming in talking about how good my boys are doing, talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers. Got to thank him for thinking about us and helping us continue to grow here at the 110 Nation. Goodness. Tell you what. This is why it's hard to do shows on nights that the NBA Finals are going on and my Cleveland Cavaliers are playing. That's why last year when we had the NBA Finals going on, we had shows canceled. We did not do shows on nights that the NBA Finals with Cleveland was going on, because that's going to be my focus of the night. And honestly, if it wouldn't have been for the fact that we already had Mason Mitchell booked for the night, probably would have been a good if we didn't have him booked already, that probably would have been it. There probably would have been a show tonight. But because of the fact that we had such an important guest tonight coming on the show, and someone that we love having on the show. There was no way that we were going to shift or change and not have a show tonight. Like I said, there's a possibility we might end the show early tonight because my focus is not going to be where it needs to be. But there was no way that there was no way that we were not going to have a show tonight it was one of those things. I tell you what, it's been definitely a quiet, gloomy day when it comes to the guest not the guests, but the customers coming in. There's a lot of them are Cleveland Cavalier fans. Even though I'm down here in North Carolina, I don't know if they just pour in for them because they know I'm diehard Cleveland everything, or if they're all legitimately Cleveland fans, or just that's who they're pulling for because their team's not in the fight. But it's the last couple of days. It's been dark and gloomy, and they're hoping and praying that my team is able to pull this off. I have a couple topics we're definitely going to jump in after the show. Raptors fan ejected from playoff game was killed. He was killed Tuesday. We're going to talk a little bit about that after Mason Mitchell. Maria Sharapova. How you say Sharapova? There you go. 2-year suspension or 2-year ban for she got caught hot. Tell it, Sharapova, tell me it's not so. Tell me you were not doping. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well. Of course, when we come back on the other side, Rex Ryan to LeBron James, come play for the Bills. Ha ha, not very funny, Rex Ryan. Always trying to be the funny guy, but never funny. And of course, on the other side, we're going to talk about more fines and penalties that were handed out from last weekend in the NASCAR world, as we're going to bring Mike Perricone, the host of Hot Laps with Stats, on the show after concluding the conversation. I hate using the word interview. I just really do. I just don't feel that it's ever really an interview with our guest. It's more of a conversation. But once we get done with our conversation with Mason Mitchell, we're going to bring Mike on the show to hit some of the key NASCAR points that are going on, get ourselves ready for Michigan, as this is the last 110 Nation Sports Show of the week, is Monday through Wednesday, and getting ourselves prepared for the other shows the rest of this week. But I know we got very limited time, because this man is probably one of the busiest mans in all of the ARCA, and might be in all the racing world, with everything he has got going on. And yet, I want to say not quite 21 yet. He might be able to correct me on that. It seems like his birthday is either this month or next month. I know he's right around the 21 age, and is getting ready to be his birthday without looking it all up. If I recall right, it's right around this time frame. But already an ARCA Series champion, already a team owner, has already had already has one car out there in multiple races, have had two and yet sometimes three cars out there. Probably one of the most inspiring young men that I have ever had the opportunity to have on the show. Without any further delay, let's go ahead and get him on here. How you doing tonight, Mason?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the opportunity to be back on the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You have no idea how much it means for us to have you guys come on the show, and the fact that not only yourself but all the drivers that you get to come on the show as well. Before we jump into this, as always, I want to give you an opportunity to plug social media, if it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever you decide to use. Any personal sites, team sites, sponsors, anything you want to throw out there for the fans to be able to keep up with you, not only in the 2016 season but moving forward.
Yeah, so obviously you can follow us on Facebook, Mason Mitchell Motorsports, Twitter at MMM_race, myself on Twitter at the Mason Race, and website MasonMitchellMotorsports.com. All of our drivers, too, have their own personal stuff. Brady Boswell, Gus Dean, Noah Gregson. So really excited for a lot of stuff we've got going on, and trying to be interactive as much as we can with everybody and all the fans, and obviously if it's the fan system, would be possible at all.
I can't remember if we had you on the show since Talladega. I know we've had Gus on. I want to congratulate you, because I can't remember, on the win at Talladega. I know that we got a very narrow window tonight, because you're a very busy man. So I just got a few key points that I want to zero in on. First of all, 2016 so far, how would you rate how your guys' season is going so far, and how is your excess? How have the drivers done so far? I know you had multiple drivers in your cars this year. How would you feel that they have done for you as well?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a whole organization. I feel like we're like at a B plus right now on the upside of this momentum behind us and gaining. But obviously, started the season off a little bit behind. We got this wreck at Daytona and a couple of poor finishes in the next two races. Not due to any performances, because we had fast race cars and some good drivers each and every week. We ran up front, led laps to just kind of get the finish that we needed. But then we finally got that big win at Talladega, and ever since then, I think we've been finally getting the finishes that we feel like we've kind of deserved. Top five at the race course, with Dave was fun. We had another top five last weekend, Brady Boswell. I really felt pretty bummed about the whole deal with the 78 car, Noah Gregson. They started six and lap one versus the year, and I honestly felt like I had a really good chance to win that race. And really bummed about that whole deal, but all in all, we've been gaining some momentum here. It's going in the right direction. Everybody's doing a good job here, working some extremely tough hours and this stretch here, 6 weeks in a row. It's been a little rough, but no rest for the weary, and we're going to keep on taking here and try to win some more races.
Start off the season at Daytona, and unfortunately both your drivers got tangled up, and I want to say it was like lap two wreck. To go from that to go to having a car in victory lane and having top five finishes, how great was it to finally kind of be able to exhale and just see the reward of all the hard work and all the everything you've had to overcome? How great was it to be able to kind of just exhale and see the reward of everything?
Yeah, oh, man, that was probably the worst week I ever had in my life at a racetrack. Yeah, you just have so much preparation time going into that week at Daytona with all the time off that you have from the season ender at Kansas then. And to see that happen so early in the race and both our race vehicles get destroyed, and it's so heartbreaking and just gut-wrenching. I sick to my stomach on the drive back and just couldn't think to myself, like, how is this impossible? But came out of there with our head held high, and then we kept on moving forward and went to Nashville and had a really good performance there.
I was definitely glad to see that, see Gus Dean get in the victory lane. Like I said, I can't remember if we had you on since then. I know here at the house we were watching the race, and I know that I was pulling for the 98 machine, and I know that my old lady came out of the kitchen, and she's like, who are you pulling for, Jim? And I was like, that 98 car right there, that's who we want to see in victory lane today. And so we're definitely been pulling for you guys all season long. Michigan, what should we expect with Brady Boswell in the Triple M machine this weekend? I know it's a new track to him, as we had him on Monday, so he's never been there before. What are you expecting out of that machine, and what are you expecting to see out of Brady at a new track this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I'm expecting good things, like always, but, you know, at Pocono, we had a little adversity to face where we went to the backup car in practice due to a little accident we had, and so we didn't get a lot of laps with that car, but we had a really good race, and it raced really well, so we had some time to work on it at the shop, you know, doing some little minor tweaks and adjustments on it to get it a little bit better for Michigan. Michigan's one of my favorite tracks to go to, and we've always really ran here well here in the past. I finished second, led a bunch of laps here. We finished third here with Austin last year, so I think we can have another really good run, and honestly, I think we can compete for the win. We just got to put a whole solid weekend ahead of us, and Brady's just going to be smooth and take it all in and learn like he usually does and be there at the end of the race.
Now, I know that you guys signed six more races for Brady. How much of a relief was that for you to know that you got a driver, and I'm assuming sponsor is a big piece of this and how this all happened. So how big of a relief was that for you to have a driver and a sponsor, and how much work was it to make sure that this deal happened?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a huge honor just because just having the chance to work with Brady and, you know, hopefully give him the opportunity to showcase his ability as a driver and hopefully give him the chance to keep on moving up. You know, we've really worked really well together here lately, and put some good products on the track, and he's done a good job, and that's why I was really excited about this top five this last weekend here at Pocono. I really feel like it's going to build some confidence for him and build some momentum behind our whole team and for this weekend here at Michigan. But it is a big relief, you know, signing more races that always has it for a driver to control organization, and it, you know, we can have something to look forward to.
Did you ever imagine, especially when you were driving, and even at this young of an age, that you would be such a mentor to these drivers? Like when I was talking to Brady on Monday, six races that he's going to be doing, he's never been to these tracks, and so he's going to be relying off of you and your experience heavily when it comes to these tracks. Did you ever think, especially when you were driving, or even when you took yourself out of the driving into the ownership role at such a young age, that you would end up being such a mentor to all these drivers from your experience already in the racing?
Honestly, I never thought I would be, but I mean, I felt like I was going to be at some point in my career, but not this young. Yeah, that's, I guess, a good or bad thing, but it was really neat last weekend at Pocono. We had three drivers test for us. That race too. Everybody during the test session came up to me and just asking for me a bunch of feedback, their thoughts on the cars, and obviously Pocono is a really tricky race to get around, and that was real neat, you know, for all the drivers just to come up to me and really ask for my opinion.
Now, I am correct, you turned 21 either this month or next month, right?
What's that now?
I said, I am correct. You turned 21 either this month or next month, correct?
I turned 22 this month, actually.
Oh, okay. Look, I'm a year behind. I was giving you even more credit for being so young. Do you ever have, and I don't know, I just thought about this, do you ever have, like, other owners come to you for any kind of advice or try to pick your brain? I don't know how much communication go between team owners. And then on top of that, how many team owners come to talk to somebody so young and maybe not quite as experienced on the ownership side, but do you have other team owners and drivers from other teams come and try to pick your brain and get your opinion or advice and stuff?
I mean, I have some really good relationships with a lot of crew members and some owners out there and other drivers. I don't get the other owners to come talk to me all the time just because I feel like just being so young, sometimes Durbin doesn't take me that serious, but that's just, I guess, the way it is in the sport and them being here a little bit longer than I have been. But I definitely have a lot of relationships, a lot of crew members, a lot of drivers, and a lot of officials and everybody in this series.
Now, I know that you got Brady locked up for 6 more races. Do you have any of the other drivers like Gus or anybody that's locked up for any other races on top of that already?
Yeah, we have some other races in the works with some drivers to be announced here soon. I know Gus has already announced this deal. He's racing the second Pocono race with us, and we got some other stuff that we're working on too. And it's already that point in the year where we're trying to work on stuff for next year already.
Is there any possibility, I don't know if you're allowed to talk about this yet or not, and I don't know if anything's in the works, but is there any talk of anything possibly having a full-time driver? In other words, is there a possibility in 2017 you're looking at running for a championship again?
I would love for that opportunity to be able to work with the driver full-time and go for a championship. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what our goal is and we're trying to, but that's all depends on everything. And it comes together, basically.
Gotcha. I think it was anything else that I wanted to jump. I know that you got things to do tonight, and I don't want to keep you tied up. We done talked about Michigan. We done talked about the last 5. It just seemed like there was something else I wanted to jump into real quick before I let you go.
My dinner's really good at Buffalo Wild Wings.
What was that again?
I said my dinner is really good at Buffalo Wild Wings. If we wanted to talk about that,
I didn't know you was a comedian as well. And I don't know if you
were on the tablet here. I was playing some Texas Hold'em, but
I don't know if you looked back and caught the yourself in Victory Lane with Jeff Dean at Talladega, but. I was able to point out to everybody who you was at my location, and obviously you were grinning from ear to ear. Did you get an opportunity to go back and see yourself hanging out in Victory Lane with Gus?
Oh, yeah. I've watched that replay so many times, and all the pictures we looked at. It was so cool. I mean, those places are so hard to win at because of all the – you rely on so much in the draft and the luck and everything. Positioning, Gus did a fantastic job. Our spotter that weekend, Tyler Green, did an amazing job calling the race from the spotter and coaching him through it. And just one of those weekends that all came together, and we were fastest in practice, qualified second, won the race. So just almost a near-perfect weekend.
When at your end of the race, was you playing into the factor, when you were strategizing the end of the race and decisions being made, was the darkness ever part of the strategy? Like, when watching the race, you didn't realize how dark it was, and I was kind of surprised that they called it because of the darkness until they went to a different view and they were showing the emergency vehicles up and down the backstretch. Then you realized how dark it was. When you were strategizing and trying to kind of call the race to make sure your driver, Justine, was up front, was the darkness ever something that was playing into your mind, or did you think the race was going to get in without that being a factor?
Well, ARCA officials came across race control and basically told the whole teams that there was oncoming pretty serious severe weather and darkness, and The next caution was going to end the race, so everybody was aware of it ahead of time. Not necessarily, I guess, the public audience and stuff, but the teams were all aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, once we were aware of that, we kind of strategized and planned on when we wanted to be out front and stuff. We kind of argued a little bit, not, you know, heated or anything, but, you know, me and Gus and the spotter kind of had some differences of opinions. But all in all, it worked out great, and they did a good job. I was nervous as hell, but it worked out.
How much harder does that make things when you got to throw in the factor of weather and darkness at a track like that, when you're trying to strategize everything and make sure that your driver happens to be out front at the right time when that race gets called? I with pitch strategy and drafting partners, especially at Talladega, and everything else that's going on, now you throw in weather, now you throw in darkness. How much harder does that make it for a team owner and your role when it comes to deciding how you want things to play out?
I mean, honestly, I love those races that have so much strategy involved. Just like last week, when it's still strategy. I just, because races are so short, you don't usually ever always get the opportunity to play strategy. So I feel like we always are able to, you know, overcome and take advantage of those strategy races and play it out pretty well. And you just got to be, like, basically playing the race backwards from the get-go to play out the strategy. And it makes it nerve-wracking because it's like a real small percentage of it working out. But when it does, it's an amazing feeling.
Well, I was told 15, so I want to make sure I keep my word, because I definitely want to keep you and all your drivers keep coming back on the show. I know you're a busy, busy guy, and like I tell everybody, I don't care if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or the full 30 minutes. As long as we get you on, that's all that matters to me. I definitely want to wish you luck on at Michigan. I definitely hope Brady is able to get that 98 machine back into victory lane for you guys. I definitely want to wish you luck on the rest of the season. Hopefully we get you back here in a few more weeks, and we got some great stories to talk about. But good luck on Michigan. Good luck on the rest of the season, and hopefully we'll be talking to you real soon.
Awesome. I appreciate the opportunity, like always, to be on the show, and you guys have a great night.
Yes, sir. That was Mason Mitchell of Mason Mitchell Motorsports, probably one of my most favorite guests to come on the show. Not only is he a driver, but a team owner that gives us the time on a regular basis. I think we've had Mason Mitchell probably on already four times this season. And if you don't know much about Mason Mitchell or Mason Mitchell Motorsports, you are missing out. You're missing out on one hell of an ARCA team, one hell of a driver, and one hell of a bunch of drivers that he brings and puts in his cars. For him to accomplish what he's accomplished at almost 22 years old, it is a lot. And, you know, he was the youngest team. They had the youngest owner-slash-driver combination with him and Austin Wayne Self last year in ARCA Series. What he has done already at the ripe age of getting ready to turn 22 speaks a lot about Mason Mitchell. It's easy to be a race car. Well, I'm not going to say it's easy, but speaking of sports, it's easy to be a race car driver, but to be a team owner and be a successful team owner and be a team owner that's around and doesn't fold after a season or two, that's got to be a very stressful and challenging job. And like I said, I don't want to take anything away from the driver. Oh, Mr. CJ Sports says it's easy to be a driver. That's not what I meant. Being a driver versus being a team owner or a team owner slash driver. I'm sorry. That team owner, what he's got to balance and make sure that he provides an income for the crew and you know, all the employees he has and make sure there's sponsors on those cars and drivers in those cars. There's a lot that this man is responsible for. And for him to be responsible for it at such a young age and at the level that he is at already, that speaks a lot for the talents, the integrity, the responsibility, the maturity. I know at the ripe age, I want to say he was 20 when he started, you know, being a team owner. I know that I would have not been able to handle that. So I was barely an adult even at 20 years old. And, you know, I was in the military overseas and everything else. As a matter of fact, I was probably back from being overseas. I know I was back from my 21st. I think I was back when I was 20. I can't remember. I was probably 20 when I came back. Yeah, because I spent my 21st here. So, yeah, I was just barely under 21. I got back in the fall, I think the July-August frame of my 20, and I turned 21 in February. And I know that I was not ready or I wouldn't have been ready for the responsibilities that Mason Mitchell has. And, you know, that just says a lot about him, and it says a lot about his character, and it says a lot about his determination. And to give you an update, Cleveland is up 33-20 with about 10 minutes left in the second as Golden State just 1 of 11 from downtown. That is definitely not what the Golden State Warriors want. This is what I was talking about. This is what Golden State and Cleveland just missed a three-pointer, so this percentage is a little bit worse. But this is what I said Cleveland needs to do. They need to shoot 50% from the field. That's where they're at, 55%. They needed to shoot 40% from downtown. That's where they're at. They're at 44%. But they also needed to shoot. They also needed to shoot 80% or better from the free throw line, and they have not made it to the free throw line yet. As actually, Golden State is outdone them in the free throw line. They've been to 5 times, and Cleveland has been heavily outdoing Golden State on getting to that free throw line. 38-27, Cleveland up by 9 points. We'll continue to keep you updated on that. We got Mike Perricone, the host of Hot Laps with Stats, Friday night, 8 p.m. We're gonna jump him into the studio, and let him first of all promote Friday night's show, what he has going on, also his Facebook and Twitter, how you guys can follow the show and follow him on Twitter. And he's also got some NASCAR updates to talk about, some more fines or penalties that have been dished out by NASCAR from this last weekend and any other NASCAR topics we have going on out there. So without any further delay, Mike, how you doing tonight?
How you doing, SCJ? Okay, busy day for me. I loved it. We had trying to firm up the program for Friday. And the first hour was firmed up Monday. We're going to have Jack Handley and Dennis Krupski from the Blunderbuss team, number 49. And the thing with Dennis is he helps Jack with his car, which is a top car in the division, but he's also strapped into a crate modified this year with the new division. So we'll be talking to them in the first hour. The second hour is still a little bit up in the air, believe it or not, but we got Plan A and Plan B. Plan A and the best option I would like to see happen would be the pairing of Ron Silk and Sean Salamito, two of the top tour-modified drivers who also happen to run Riverhead. And about 2 weeks ago at Riverhead, they staged the closest photo finish that I've ever seen in modified racing. When they came to the line, they were literally neck and neck for like two or three laps in a modified, and then when they came to the line, it was like a photo finish and looked like a drag race. So we'll be talking to them, hopefully. Unfortunately, I got Ron's contact number from his car owner early this morning and then text him and everything else, but you got to take into consideration, and that's why I work on things all day long, that these guys also have day jobs. So hopefully they'll come on. And I know I got the first hour locked up and the second hour, hopefully, but we got Plan B in case that, you know, does what we'll definitely have an interesting two-hour program, whichever way we go. But that's the plan right now. Ron Silk and Sean Salamito in the second hour, and definitely Jack Handley and Dennis Krupski in the first hour. Then earlier also today, I posted on the B110 Nation page a story that actually Miss Lee saw first, and then I posted it on the page. that Kyle Larson will be the latest driver to probably be without his crew chief this weekend at Michigan because he had a lug nut issue, or the team did, at Pocono. So that's the second one that I've read about or seen, in, thanks to Miss Lee, the first, this one, in 2 days about lug nuts. And basically I saw somebody comment after I posted it that said the same thing that CJ said last night, that Tony Stewart probably didn't realize he was opening a real Pandora's box. And almost word for word, that person commented exactly what CJ said last night. So another lug nut issue for NASCAR, and so we'll see what happens with that. Probably be without his crew chief for Michigan, and I didn't see any dollar amounts connected with that one, but we'll see what happens there. And as far as my social media, you get me on my regular page. You can get me on my Facebook personal page, the Hot Laps with Stats fan page, which, again, I'm asking for people to make suggestions of drivers that I might not have thought of, either in Connecticut, one in Connecticut, Jersey, or obviously Riverhead. If you get me there, the 110 Nation page, obviously, which we branch out to all sports, and then, but I'm there, and so I'm monitoring that as well. So I'll see whatever you suggest, and also on my Twitter, which is the other outlet I use, at Stats108, STATS108. And so that about covers it for me. But CJ, we'll have another interesting program Friday night.
Sounds great. I can't wait to be sitting in the studio, checking out, listening to all four great guests coming on the show. I tell you what, I still wonder, and I think I said this last night, but I still scratch my head and wonder how many of the drivers and crew chiefs at this point, I might have said this on Monday night's show, but I wonder how many of those drivers and crew chiefs, at first, especially the drivers, they were all about, what Tony Stewart said about the lug nuts. I wonder how many of those, now that there's been so many fines and suspensions at this point, I wonder how many of those are wishing that, I wish we didn't change the rule back and we just left it as do what you wanted to do.
That was last night, because that's when I said Biffle and Amendinger were the first two to come up. And then today, like I said, Miss Lee found it before I did, but I posted it on when she sent it to me, or I saw it. I posted it on the 110 Nation page. Yeah, and immediately after I posted it, I saw somebody comment underneath, and the first thing I thought of was, well, you said the same thing last night when I came on and talked about Biffle and Amendinger. But yeah, that's three in 2 days, so that's very interesting.
I think another topic that we didn't talk about last night, and I know I talked about it with Steve, and I kind of want to get your opinion. That's just because I see the 24 cars sitting in front of me. I know that you didn't catch all the race. There was a lot of looking out the corner of your eye and listening to. Did you happen to watch the part of the race where Chase Elliott was doing the restarts?
Yes. Yeah. He at sort of like the end there, and he was right up there. And, he does a good job with those. I mean, he's one of the ones that...
How impressed were you as a rookie to see him just nail every single one of them? There was not a single restart that Chase Elliott did not take advantage of it and put himself out in the lead.
Yeah, I think either his teammates or his father or a combination thereof you know, and most of schools did very well on that, you know. And there's certain things certain drivers do well, and, you know, certain things, like anything else, you know, certain drivers aren't strong in certain areas. But him, as you say, he seems to nail every one of them, and there's certain aspects where he doesn't drive like a rookie, you know. And, you know, that's where I remember the first couple of weeks when, I guess it was right before Daytona or during Daytona speed weeks, people were saying, how come he got the ride? He must have got the ride because his father is Bill Elliott. But he obviously plays a part in it, but he showed that, you know, since then he's shown that he has a certain amount of talent, you know, whether it's in the genes or however, but he possesses it, and he's doing a nice job, in my view.
Oh, well, I want you to be able to enjoy the rest of your night. I'm sure that I'll probably call on you for another bit of information or two before the show's out, but definitely want to thank you for coming on. Looking towards Friday night and see what you got going on. Make sure you guys check him out on Facebook, Hot Laps with Stats, and also check him out on Twitter. What is it, Joey? Is it Stats108?
@Stats108, yes, sir.
Make sure you guys check him out. Mike, you enjoy the rest of your evening. And if I don't need you the rest of the night, thanks for listening in, and we'll talk, I'm sure, some point before the night's out.
No problem. I'll be here. Thanks, CJ.
Yes, sir. That's Mike Perricone, host of Hot Laps with Stats, Friday night, 8 p.m. Make sure you guys tune in. It is quickly becoming one of the hottest shows on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, so make sure you guys do not miss out on that opportunity. Cleveland, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry up until about 30 seconds ago had a combined of 2 points. Right now they got a combined of 6 points. I know a lot of people are talking smack because of the fact that Cleveland was only up by 9 points at the time when those two had a combined for 2 points. Now they're combined for 6 points, but Cleveland has reopened that lead to a 13. Well, now to a 12-point lead. They are up 48-36. There's about 3 minutes left to go into half. Kyrie Irving leading all scorers with 19. LeBron James with 10. Harrison Barnes with Gold State with 10. Nobody else has double-digit points. Rebounding, Tristan Thompson with 7 leads all rebounders. And then, of course, on the assist side of the house, Draymond Green has 6 assists to lead everybody with assists, as we'll continuously keep you updated. And now it's down to a 9-point lead, as I don't know what just happened, but all of a sudden things started swifting back in the other direction. But Steph Curry, it looks like he's going to go about the halftime and only have 2 points, 1 assist, and 1 rebound. That's going to be something crazy, especially knowing how important this game could potentially be with the Cleveland Cavaliers. If they win, they extend this into at least 5 games. And like I mentioned earlier in the show, this is not what Golden State wants. This is what us Cleveland Cavaliers and the Cleveland Cavaliers themselves want. That knowing that 3 of the next 4 games are in Cleveland, that's what Cleveland needs. They need to find themselves on a 2-game win streak, do something that only OKC has been able to do, and that's make the Golden State Warriors lose back-to-back games all season long. And they need to carry that momentum into Golden State, to the Oracle Arena, and be able to take Game 5 so they can wrap things up at Game 6. Yes, I'm an optimist. Do I think that they're going to do it? No, I think that Cleveland will fall short. But I am going to keep my fingers crossed and be the Cleveland Cavalier fan that I am, and hope that we find ourselves with the 2016 NBA Final. Don't forget, tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, Racing with Big Sweat, brought to you by Snafu Seasoning. We got a lot of great things going on here at the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, and I know Mike is working very hard behind the scenes to help possibly make that grow. Just as well as Miss Lee and Steve, as we got some things working on that end as well. If you want to be part of the 110 Nation, if you want to co-host or host a show, or maybe you're uncomfortable with being on the radio. I remember how it was the first time I scheduled for 15 minutes, and I about whispered that first 5-10 minutes, and then I finally started to loosen up, extended the show time when I realized, hell, I can talk for a lot more than 15 minutes. I know that is amazing, knowing that I'm on the radio at least 6 hours a week, and there for a while I was on the radio 5 days a week doing. As a matter of fact, back in the day, I was on the radio 5 days a week, 3 hours per show, and then I would get on other people's shows. But knowing that I'm on the 110 Nation Sports Show 2 hours a day, 3 days a week, and then I jump on. Then also do Revenus Racing Monday night for an hour. Then I jump on and talk for a few minutes over at Racing with Big Sweat. Just talk a few minutes on High Last with Stats, knowing that Shorty and I are getting ready to work on another show. So to know that I went from 15 minutes, didn't think I could do 15 minutes, to know that I can make 2 hours go by very quickly at night and be on the radio as much as I can. I know it's hard for people to believe that there was ever an issue or ever a thought that was going to be an issue. If you're one of those that maybe you're not comfortable with being on the radio, maybe you want to get your word out there, your opinions and your thoughts, but maybe you want to get it on paper. Maybe you want to, and when I say paper, on our site, and have articles published that everybody gets to see. And maybe you want the hundreds of thousands of listeners, followers, and everything else we have, but just don't want to do it on the air, and you want to be a writer, or maybe you're marketing or PR, or maybe you want to help continue making our social media presence even better. All you got to do is hit me up over at email me at the110nation@gmail.com. I don't know why I said at yahoo.com. You're about to find out why. But if you're interested in joining the 110 Nation, if it be a show, co-host, host, be just an expert, come on for 30 minutes like we have Izzo. He comes on Tuesday night, did a phenomenal job last night Updating us on the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. Maybe you want to, like I said, PR, marketing, social media, whatever the case may be, email me at the110nation@gmail.com. If you're interested in coming on the show, maybe you're an athlete, part of some kind of athletic organization, team, whatever the case may be, maybe you got a show or site and you want to come on and promote it and talk about sports, or maybe you got some kind of charity or foundation that you want to come on and promote, and hopefully we can be not only a platform to get it out there, but be able to be involved as well. All you got to do is hit Miss Lee. That is Lee, that is L-E-E _110nation@yahoo.com. That's where @yahoo.com came into. Now, with that being said, I said Miss Lee. You can contact Miss Lee. And the reason I reiterate that, you'd be amazed how many people miss the Miss Lee part. And whenever I get a message or an email, they refer to Miss Lee as he, him, or something to that nature. And it always cracks me up because it's always Miss Lee. I never say anything other than Miss Lee when I say it on the air. And it really cracks me up. And I understand because Miss Lee spells her name L-E-E, which, you know, most commonly, like my brother, his name is Lee, and it's L-E-E. And I know most females, if they spell Lee, it's L-E-I-G-H or whatever the case may be. But I just want to make sure that I reiterate Lee, Miss Lee. Not that she is offended or anything, but I get a chuckle. Golden State's closing that lead a little bit, now down to 48-41 as Klay Thompson is starting to get hot with 10 points. Steph Curry has came back into the game, still only has 2 points, so we'll definitely keep our eye on that. And somehow they got the ball back after, Steph Curry just picked up a foul. Draymond Green somehow, Cleveland just quickly turned that ball back over because they scored. Then next thing I know, Draymond Green was missing a layup. Kyrie Irving went down, shot a three-pointer. That's what it was, and he missed the three-pointer. Kyrie Irving still leading all scorers with 19 points. Tristan Thompson of the Cleveland Cavaliers leading all rebounders with 9. And Draymond Green is still leading Harrison Barnes with 6. Or no, I was right. Draymond Green with 6. Harrison Barnes had the 6 rebounds. Kyrie Irving is out. I think that's really the only adjustment that's come out. And Tristan Thompson has hit double digits on the rebounding with 10 rebounds, and he's probably, and a lot of people tweeting and sending messages talking about Tristan Thompson, as he's hit 10 rebounds already. Probably going to have a double-double here real soon, as he's about to have 9 points as he's at the free throw line. He didn't make it. LeBron James misses a dunk. He misses the free throw, but Tristan Thompson will at least get 2 more points. I'd be shocked if we don't have a double-double out of Tristan Thompson, as Golden State just scored again to take this back down to a 7-point lead with about 30 seconds left. We're getting ready to hit halftime. Raptors fan, let's get into that topic real quick. See, that's why I should never took down the article I had. Now it's not where it was at before. Now I'm having trouble finding it. Go back to the main page and see what we got here. There we go. It's the brain pain, Coach. Raptors fan that was ejected from playoff game shot and killed in Toronto. A man shot dead Tuesday near a busy intersection in Midtown Toronto has been identified as the Toronto Raptors fan that was ejected from his courtside seat for heckling the referees during Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals last month. Toronto police have yet to release the name of the suspect, but a family member confirmed his identity, according to Kim Bowen of the Vancouver Sun. Shoot Dale, 34, was inside a white Range Rover when 2 men started firing at him just before 3 p.m. local time in an alley near a busy intersection of Yonge Street and Ellington Avenue. Toronto police Sup Ruben Strobe told reporters at the scene that the fatal shooting is a big surprise for this area, especially at this time of day. The luxury vehicle had at least 14 bullet holes visible on the driver's side window. Suk uncle Soan Dale confirmed it was his nephew who was killed. The family is very upset, obviously. He was the man that was ejected for heckling at the Raptors' May 23rd playoff game in Toronto against the Cleveland Cavaliers, said Kerpreet Sahota, editor of the Punjabi Weekly newspaper. No arrests have been made. I tell you what, I wonder if any of that has the Sun report calls Suk Dale a former Metro Vancouver gangster who was well known to police in the lower mainland of British Columbia and was a suspect in at least one continuing investigation here at the time of his murder. Police sources told CTV News he was a big time coke dealer whose family has a long history of criminal activity in British Columbia. Well, you're right. I wonder if those two are related, the heckling and some pissed off Toronto fans and the shooting. But obviously, we got that at the half. Cleveland is up 51-43. I'm assuming Steph Curry still has. I'm assuming that Steph Curry still has 2 points. But I was getting ready to say, I wonder if they were related. But obviously, if this is a well-known coke dealer, and the family is a long line of illegal activities. We're smart enough here in the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network studios to be able to put two and two together and figure out what is the end result of why Deo was shot, killed, and murdered. Kind of brave in the middle of the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the way they were talking about it must be a little bit upper class of a neighborhood if they were surprised this kind of activity was going on, especially that time of day. So I guess those reports kind of answer all those questions that pertain to that. But regardless what his lifestyle is, well, I'm not going to say that because I'm sorry, if you're a pedophile, you deserve to be headed. Go ahead and shot and killed. And if you don't like that, you can go ahead and turn off the 110 Nation Sports Show. I'm sorry, I have no love and will lose no sleep over someone that messes with kids if they are put down. I just don't like how I feel about it. But I know lives are valued, and there's not too many reasons someone to be should put down and drug dealing. As bad as it is, doesn't mean necessarily someone should have their life taken from them. So, unfortunate. Sharapova. I was kind of surprised when I saw this earlier today. This is just not wanting to cooperate with me. Let's go back. Lottie Dottie, everybody. You're right. Of course, everything just takes forever and a day to upload. That's what happens when you don't do things in the studio. When you do stuff outside the studio, things just go a must and just never works out the way you want. Because in the studio, I have usually the tablet and I have the phone and I have the house computer, my computer. I have all these things set up and made possible to me, so if one thing locks up or one thing doesn't want to load, I can jump onto something else real quick and get them to do something. And for some reason, or because I'm not in the studio tonight, those things are not playing out the way I want. Maria Sharapova will appeal 2-year suspension. Former world number one, Maria Sharapova has been suspended for 2 years following a positive test for a banned drug, meldonium. Sharapova has replied that the punishment was unfairly harsh and is appealing the International Tennis Foundation decision. The ITF announced that the suspension would be backdated to January 26, which invalidates Sharapova's quarterfinal performance in January's Australian Open. It was at that event where Sharapova's test turned up positive. The ITF indicated that her suspension has been backdated because of Sharapova's prompt admission to guilt. Sharapova pleaded her case before the tribunal in May, and after the ITF announced the suspension, took to her Facebook page to present her side to the public. The ITF spent tremendous amounts of time and resources trying to prove I intentionally violated the anti-doping rules, and the tribunal concluded I did not, Sharapova wrote. You need to know that the ITF asked the tribunal to suspend me for 4 years. The required suspension for an international violation, and the tribunal rejected the ITF position. While the tribunal concluded correctly that I did not intentionally violate the anti-doping rules, I cannot accept an unfairly harsh 2-year suspension. Sharapova announced the positive finding on March 7th in Sudden, a surprise news conference. At the time, she noted, she noted that meldonium had been legal up till January 1st of this year. Sharapova conceded that she had not paid attention to the repeated warnings to stop the usage of meldonium, which can aid in endurance and rehabilitation. The suspension will affect Sharapova's earning potential as well as her career. Tag Heuer dropped her as a spokesperson, and Nike and Porsche, among others, have put distance between themselves and Sharapova. She has earned more than $200 million in endorsements against $36 million in on-court earnings. I don't want to end my career this way, Sharapova said in March. I really hope I will be given another chance to play this game. Any chance at the moment will have to wait until 2018. I understand that, Mike. I wasn't really apologizing and didn't really care if I offended somebody. We have had this conversation before. And I know that I do not sit in the majority when I say this. All these professional sports have not always tested for all these different things. And I know everybody's, the critics and the fans' biggest argument is, well, the records shouldn't count. Barry Bonds is one of them. That these records shouldn't count because they cheated. And that they had an unfair advantage. Well, first of all, you don't know that. Because what is banned now has not always been banned. There's been stuff that I've been able to buy on the shelves at my local GNC or my local Gold's Gym that it wasn't deemed banned until later on after you could buy it for, you know, this extended period of time. So that is something that each of these sports throughout the years, their list has gotten longer on things that have been banned that they necessarily weren't always banned and players were allowed to use or did come up hot for it in the past. Roger Maris' record of most home runs in a season is a prime example for me. There's a lot of things that are tested now that weren't tested before, and I'm sorry, but I find it hard to believe that one man could hit so many home runs that nobody could beat that record for all these years. It took two people juiced up, Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, to beat that record before that record finally became no longer. I'm sorry, but I find that hard to believe. And I don't want to discredit Roger Maris, and I don't want to discredit, you know, what the foundation of this record and something that has existed in the sport for so long, or discredit his integrity of the game or anything else. But what I am saying is there's no way to prove this. There's no way that, you know, and I can promise you back in Roger Maris' days when he set the record, they didn't want testing for all this stuff. And so to tell me that only one person in all these years until we came along with the PED and the steroid era, you're going to tell me that all these players could not do it until someone else started, you know, until someone started juicing up. I find it hard to believe. So I'm going to tread this topic carefully, but yet then again I'm not. I don't have a problem with people taking whatever they want. I just don't. I know a lot of people that take a lot of things. I know a lot of people that inject themselves with a lot of things. And I'm sorry, just like anything else, as long as you cycle the way you're supposed to cycle and don't abuse it and don't continue taking it and like I said, cycle like you're supposed to, there is no, especially steroids, there is no proven side effects. The only thing that actually stays with you that you take other than the hair loss is, yes, you have gyno and basically band moves. Those are the only two things. Everything else, those are only temporary side effects if you have any. just like any other thing. I have taken supplements, and you can ask my ex. I have taken supplements in the past that I can buy on the counter that gave me acne, just like I was taking steroids. And that's actually what helps thin my hair out, where I got to keep my hair short, is because of supplements I bought off the counter. Yes, I misused them, and I didn't realize it. I just didn't look into it. I took two supplements at the same time that I was only supposed to take one period and cycle off. Instead, I was taking both of them at the time. And if you ever had an opportunity to look at my IDs, because I had to get a new driver's license for one reason or another, and then 4 months later, it expired because the way the DMV gets over on you is you still have the same expiration date. So if you got to get an ID more than, I think, 90 days out or more than 30 days out from your expiration date, then you have to get another one to spend that $30-$40 again. But if you look at my two IDs, they're only four months apart. My head is like 1.5 times the size. Like, my head blew up. And that was really the only time I was ever accused of being off steroids. And that's just because I took two supplements at the same time when I was only supposed to take one period and just didn't know no better. I didn't do my research. I didn't really care. I was worried about, at that point in time, getting to 400 on the bench. 2 years ago, I got up to 460 on the bench. I don't have a problem with it. If you are willing to put your body at risk to take these supplements to make you better, to make sure your livelihood and your contracts continue on, I don't have a problem with it. I just don't. People are all with the health risk. Well, you can take Advil and have a reaction to it and pass away. I'm sorry, you just can't. So therefore, I don't have a problem with it. Plus, knowing that they have not always tested for all these different kinds of supplements to include steroids, and knowing that maybe some of these records, such as Roger Maris, who had this home run record for all these years until someone was juiced up and finally could beat it, I'm sorry, but I find it hard to believe that 1 million was better than all these other people in one season for so many years. So that's another reason why I just don't have an issue with it. But I know enough people that have taken enough supplements to include being on what I'm saying is, how do we know that he took something that wasn't, you know, that wasn't a banned substance? And I also agree, if it wasn't banned back then you can't. I'm not trying to wipe out what he did back in 1961. I have no problem with it. But I also have no problem if they want to take it now in 2016, that they should be out taking it in 2016. You can't put asterisks next to people's names, such as Barry Bonds is one of those people they want to put asterisks next to, but not have an asterisk next to him if he took something back in 1961, regardless if it was legal, banned or not. If he took it and used it, then you can't put that asterisk next to someone now for using the same supplement, whether if it's banned or not, because he used it to help him get that record, just like he used it now to get where he accomplished. I'm sorry, but you can't have it one way or another. That's part of the reason why I don't have a problem with people taking, you know, whatever supplement they want to take, or if they want to take different forms of anabolical steroids. I just don't have a problem with it, because you run the risk with any supplement, if it's on the counter, off the counter, your mom and pop shop place, or your GNCs out there, you run into the risk of having a bad reaction, or you know, it affecting your health. And you know, that's part of one of the reasons why I think we have so many athletes dying at a young age, is because of stuff they take. But I don't have a problem with it. I know enough people that have lived a full life, and I know enough people that have lived a full life and have no complications from taking anabolic steroids. I just do. And that's because they take it like they're supposed to take it. They don't abuse it. They cycle off of it. And either they never do it again, or they cycle back on later on when it's appropriate. If you got those out there that don't want to do that and want to use and abuse and tear up the body, that's on them. I really don't care. And I know it's them trying to look out for their athletes, but this has become such a global issue that everybody is taking it. I don't have a problem with it. And at some point, these professional sports just got to say, you know what, it is what it is. We obviously can't control this. Players are still going to continue to use it. Let's just make it legal. And, you know, and go from there. I know from personal experience from people I've been around, the whole roid rage thing, that's just a personality trait. I have seen people on anabolical steroids be the best person I've ever seen them be. I know people personally that are huge dicks and are the biggest butts out there in the world. But while they were taking this stuff, they were the kindest person I had ever met, and they're the kindest person I'd ever been around, and did more for people than I'd ever seen them do in their lifetime. And you know, I know that's one of the biggest things that people talk about is, oh, roid rage this and roid rage that. I'm sorry, but I honestly think that you've seen one or two people out there have a bad attitude, or one or two athletes lose a game and just be pissed and take it out on a batter on somebody else, and they just naturally assume, oh, roid rage, and everybody gets roid rage. Like I said, I have been around some of the most pleasant people. And when I say be around, like around, not just, oh, Mr. CJ Sports, you don't know what he did when you weren't around and how much. No, when I say I've been around some people, I mean I've been around, like, they stayed with me an extended period of times, and I was around them. It wasn't like they were just putting on this front while they were in the gym or around me. Like, I was around them an extensive amount of time to be able to observe all this stuff. I'm not going to say I'm promoting everybody needs to go out. And Mr. CJ Sports says, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing steroids, and we all need to do steroids, and this, that, yeah, that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying I don't have a problem with it. I do not look down on players if they are a roid user. I don't. I don't like A-Rod. I don't look down on him for doing it. I mean, that's his personal preference. He has had a phenomenal career and has been able to make the money and have the contracts he's had because he has had something to aid him. Everybody, I'm sorry, but there is not a single athlete out there that does not take something that aids them. Just some do it the way that the sport says to do it, and some people do it the way they want to do. I'm sorry, but if you go out and buy a big bottle, a big tub of IsoPure protein, you're taking something to help you. And I'm sorry, I look at all of them as a PED because all of them help your performance. You go out and buy protein and make you a protein shake. I know it's not a bad substance, but it is a PED. It enhances your performance. It gives you more protein, which more protein promotes healthier, you know, more muscle, and so forth and so forth. Any creatine. It just, you know, helps perform. It helps maximize your workouts and helps your muscle growth. Anything you buy from a GNC or a Vitamin World, to me, those are all PEDs because all of them help your performance. If not, you wouldn't be buying this stuff. Some of them are a little bit harsher on your body and more of a, you know, some of them need post-cycle and pre-cycle and kind of cycle off. Some of them you can continue to buy protein all day long, creatine, I think you're supposed to cycle off as well. So, I mean, all of them have their pros and cons, and all of them have, you know, what you can do and can't do with it. I'm just saying I don't necessarily have a problem with somebody being on anabolic steroid. I mean, if they're wanting, and honestly, when it comes to the wear and tear, actually injecting it into your body is a lot better for you than taking some of these supplements that run down your liver and hurt your kidneys and your livers and your, you know, it just causes your body to work harder and just putting more toxins in your body. So honestly, injecting an antibiotic steroid is better for you than a lot of supplements you get off the counter anyway when it comes to your internal organs. But I know cost-wise, and people are like, oh, you know, steroids being expensive. Yeah, honestly, and I've done the math, what I used to spend on supplements back in the day versus what it cost to buy a whole cycle's worth, a whole 12 weeks worth of anabolic steroids, yes, it might cost you more up front. You might have to spend the $300-$400, whatever it is. I can't remember what they told me, but it was roughly in that ballpark figure. I was spending that, if not more, on the stuff off the counter, and so, you know, the price to result equation is 10 times is a really a no-brainer on using the antibiotic steroid. And like I said, as long as you don't use and abuse it, and cycle like you should, there's nothing but pros. Like I said, I've watched documentaries. I've watched documentaries. I've done my research, and what few side effects there actually is, most of them are just temporary side effects. Once you cycle off, it goes back. The only things that really stay with you is the potential hair loss and then the gyno stuff. Outside of that, and as long as you stay, you know, if you use the right post-cycle stuff and you don't allow yourself to get out of shape, you really don't have to worry about the gyno. The hair loss might be the only one that you're not going to get back. Which, like I said, I experienced the hair loss with just taking over-the-counter stuff. That's where I lost mine. And yes, I did it wrong. I didn't cycle, and just like with the anabolic steroids or anything else, if you don't do it right, yes, it's going to wear and tear on your body, and it's going to have potential bad side effects. And that's just what simply happened to me. I was taking a legal form of Tren and a legal form of MassTab. Both of them were taken off the shelf shortly after that. But you know, I took math tabs in prior months to that, and at some point I had taken the trend at a different point, and it was one cycle I decided, you know, I went down to the GNC because I think they had the math tabs cheaper than they had them at Gold's Gym. I think they had them there cheaper than GNC, and I got that, and I think I got the trend from GNC. I can't remember where I got the trend from. And I decided, you know what, I liked the performance and the results and how I felt when I took each of them. So I'm going to take both of the signs same time so I can really love the results and how I feel. Unfortunately for me, I didn't think about the potential side effects from that and what potentially could, you know, harm it could do for my body. I was one of those people that I just did. I didn't do the research. Later on, I hooked up with a buddy and did a lot of research, and that's when I really realized that I was really doing a lot of harm to my body, and I really needed to learn how to do research and find out what I could and couldn't be taken together and how I need to cycle stuff. But I just, knowing from past experience, I just don't have an issue with people taking it. And if athletes want to make sure that they are performing at their highest and want to make sure that, you know, they're maximizing their opportunities for better contracts, and if they want to take something off the counter, they want to take something over the counter, they want to take something, you know, that they inject something that they take orally, I don't care. I don't have a problem with it. You know, it's their body, it's their decision. Some people out there and some athletes are all about being all natural. Some people don't mind taking stuff. she ain't talking. I got a message on him. I see if you didn't do that, Shorty could have run her fingers through your hair. She's not tall enough to run her fingers through my hair. She can't reach the top of my head. I'm just playing. She can on the couch, but
trash talking?
I ain't trash talking. You ain't tall enough to reach the top of my head while I'm standing up.
I am.
When you're on your tippy toes?
Yeah. I didn't bring in the headset because I forgot it.
Oops. Shorty's found herself in the studio. Is she just getting home with the kids from work? But I just don't have it. You know, it's their body. And when it comes down to the end of the day, you know, sometime down the road, medically, it comes out that anabolic steroids are really bad as people trying to make it, then okay, they knew the potential risk. Right now, there is no there's no actual proof or medical backing saying that this stuff is as bad as people want to make it sound. If, you know, they want to take stuff over the counter, they want to take CellTech, they want to take NitroTech, they want to take HydroxyCut, they want to take Zinedrine, and all these other, I'm just trying to name stuff off the top of my head that I've seen on the show, and, you know, they want to take it right, fine. If they want to use and abuse it and tear the body up, that's on them. I think we're getting to a point, because this has become such a global issue, that it just needs to be, you know, if you want to use and abuse your body, how you want to use and abuse your body, that's fine. I just think that I know. Looking at Barry Bonds, there's no doubt in my mind that he took something. I mean, it just is what it is. I mean, he's gotten bigger. Do I look at him any less, and do I feel his record is any less value? No, I don't. And the main reason is I know that there was a lot of things that I want to go on to talk about and update real quick. Cleveland has jumped out to a 16-point lead to start off the second half. They're up 62-46. Like I said, I'll keep you updated. Cleveland, and right at that 40%, I said they need to be from downtown. 6-15, 40%, just hanging on to that. Golden State has actually made a couple. Now they're 3-18 at 16%. Free throws, they need to make a few more. Cleveland does. They're 6-9, 66%. I said they need to be 80%. And from the field, they're 46.3%. I said that they needed to be about 50% from the field. So they're right around those numbers that they need to be. 64-46, up by 18 points as they're closing up on 20. How funny would this be to watch the Golden State Warriors beat the crap out of Cleveland by 48 points combined in the two games in Golden State, and then Cleveland turn around and give the same butt whooping back to Golden State and end up winning by about 48 points combined score for the Cleveland at home. Tristan Thompson has hit that double-double that I was talking about, 12 points, 12 rebounds, leading in everybody. As a matter of fact, more than double anybody else when it comes to rebounds. Kyrie Irving still leading all scorers with 21 points. And on the assist side of the house, Draymond Green is still leading everybody with 6 assists. Kyrie Irving now has 5 and is getting close to J.R. Smith. Getting hot as he's got 14 points as he just hit another 3-pointer. To give himself 14 points and to put Cleveland at 43% instead of 40% from downtown as they are opening that lead to a 19-point lead and up to a 16-5 run to start off the third. But like I said, I have no problem with it doing it. Like I said, also, they didn't always test for this stuff, and some of this stuff was not banned back in the day. So I have an issue with Barry Bonds or Sammy Sosa or Mark McGwire or Alex Rodriguez or Matt Barnes or any of these athletes to have an asterisk next to the name because they've not always tested for this stuff, and not all this stuff is always being banned. So if something wasn't banned in the day and then it's banned now and you got an asterisk next to one name, you need to have an asterisk next to it. That's just why we just need to say, you know what, you guys do what you got to do. Well, we're seeing some of the best baseball that we've ever seen and some of the best of everything we've ever seen. But let them continue to do what they're doing. Quit trying to police and worry about what everybody's putting in their body. And as long as it's not in a substance that impairs their vision or impairs their decision, vision or decision, especially when it comes to NASCAR, I'm sorry, there's like no tolerance, especially when it comes to illegal drugs, coke, crack, heroin, meth, all that stuff, alcohol, weed. I can understand that sport, maybe even be a little bit more, Larry, but stop. You're not going to win this fight. They're always going to come out with a banned substance and a way to get that banned substance to get through these tests, and you're going to have athletes that get away with it their whole career. You're going to have athletes that don't get caught to the very end, and then you're going to sit there and question everything and question what athletes are taking it and everything else. Just stop. For the sake of us wanting just to have a reason to cheer and knowing that not every substance has been banned the whole time and records that have stuck around for so long that they were taking supplements that you didn't either test for or an hour bam. I just stop. Just please. Just there's no reason that Sharapova is and Cleveland is up by 22 points at this point. Just put your foot on their throat, Cleveland. Just go for it. Make the Golden State fans feel as bad as we felt Game 1 and Game 2. And I really wish I had a TV sitting right in front of me right at this point in time, because I'd really be kicking back enjoying how this game is being played out right now. As they're firing on just about every aspect, out-rebounding them by 14, is 34-20. LeBron James now leading, not leading all scores, but up to 18 points as LeBron is starting to take over this game. as Golden State just keeps saying, we're taking timeouts. They got to figure out something. 19-5 is what it is. There's only 5 minutes left in the third, and in 7 minutes, Golden State has mustered up 5 whole points. As it's getting ugly quick, and I'm glad we're on the dishing side of it instead of the receiving side. As Tristan Thompson is now up to 13 rebounds, I'll continue to keep you guys updated on this, but just give up on the PEDs of this. It just
Still on picket the headset?
Or, yeah, I couldn't. I was bouncing all over. Whoa, what's got there? What's got there? I'm here to wrap up. I don't know what I want. No, I'm not going to wait that long. Come on! Racing big we got things going on the studio. We already wrap things up. Good news. I don't know if you've been listening. But Cleveland is putting the beat down on Golden State. They're up by 22 in the third, 70-48. Yes, as Shorty's in the studio. The great news about the Cleveland Cavaliers putting the holy smack down on the Golden State Warriors as finally get an opportunity to dish out what had been dished to us. Tomorrow night, Racing with Big Sweat, 9 p.m. Make sure you guys check that out. Brought to you by Snafu Season. I forgot earlier. Got to make sure that I do a shout-out to Fit for Life. You can check them out on Facebook, Fit for Life. Check them out at www.fitforlife.com. 365, 24/7, get your gym on. Shorty and I, we get our gym on at Fit for Life. We know that there's not a single point of the day that we cannot get into the gym. And make sure you guys check out at fitforlife.com for the nearest location to you. Great prices, got everything you need. Make sure you guys check them out. Friday nights, make sure you guys check out Hot Lasso Stats, 8 p.m. And hopefully we'll have some good news by then, some more good news by then. Saturday at noon, Happy Hour Garage. Make sure that you guys check that out as well. Still working on what we're going to do on Sunday. We got a lot of great potential possibilities. We might be bringing in one of the guests, former guests from the Friday night show to have her own show on Sunday. Shorty and I might be doing something where we put a piece together to have for Saturday nights. Is one of the things that we're doing a lot of soul searching to figure out what we want to do with some opportunities we got going on here at the 110 Nation. Don't forget, if you're interested to come on the show, if you're an athlete, got a show or site you want to come on and promote and talk sports, got some kind of charity or foundation you want to promote, all you got to do is hit up Miss Lee. That is LEE_110Nation@yahoo.com. Also, don't forget, if you want to be part of the 110 Nation, if you want to host, co-host, be an expert in you know your field, and come on the show, or maybe show is not you, maybe writing is you. Maybe you express your opinion, thoughts, and whatnot by writing. We're definitely looking for writers, or maybe you just want to be behind the scene. Maybe PR, marketing, or putting the social media, help putting our social media on a bigger platform. And in other words, have a more of a presence on social media. Hit me up, the110nation@gmail.com. We'd love to have an opportunity to talk to you and see about bringing you on board. Don't forget, you can follow me at CJSports1. You can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. You can check us out on Facebook, my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, the 110 Nation fan page, 110 Nation Sports. Also, check out our group, the 110 Nation, as we have conversations, we have polls. We'll have live game and race feeds to let people be able to talk about those particular games or races. There's a lot of things going on. We've revamped it, added some admin. Looking to expand and grow that group. If you're not checked it out, make sure you jump over there as well. Also, check out our blog site, www.the110nationsports.com, and check out our company site, www.the110nation.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. I want to thank everybody that's tuned in all three nights here at the 110 Nation Sports Show. Don't forget the rest of the shows going on later on this week at the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Got to thank Shorty for coming on, Mike, Steve, Miss Lee, Izzo, for all, everything they do to make the One Fit Nation Sports Show happen. Like I said, tomorrow night, be back at this, the Racing with the Big Sweat. Make sure you guys are here. You guys have a great night. Until then.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Sports. You are a part of the 110 Nation, so be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports. Until next time.